let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Then I Came Home is a memoir of a young country boy, Sam Gaylord, from a small patriotic town in southern Indiana. He joins the military to earn the GI Bill benefits for college. Knowing he'd be drafted, he chose to join the U.S. Marines because he wanted to be part of the best. He arrives in Vietnam and immediately experiences the reality of war. Sam resides now in Louisville, Kentucky, is more than qualified to speak on the topic and write his book. This is a story that he actually lived. Sam has given motivational talks around the country. In his career, he dedicated his life to helping veterans. He's worked endlessly to improve the fractured support system for veterans. He's been to book signings for events at various locations around the country. Then I Came Home is a 5-star rating on Amazon and an excellent Kirkus review. And Sam Gaylord, author of Then I Came Home, is our guest on This Week in America. Sam, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate being with you.
What a remarkable story you told in the book, Then I Came Home. This is a must read. And let's start with your background. Talk about how old you were when you joined the military. What age did you join?
I was 18 years old, sir, when I joined the military.
Why did you decide to do that? I mentioned that the GI benefits were there. Talk about the decision-making process to join the military. How difficult was that, especially during a very volatile time in our history?
Well, like I said, I was 18, and we were raised up pretty poor. We didn't have anything as a family, and I wanted to go to college, so the military was the only way I could get to go to college, so I signed up so I get the GI Bill. And also, I wanted to go join the best, so I joined the Marines. And then I was sent to Vietnam, and I wanted to go fight for my country because my father had fought in World War II with General Patton. So I'm from a patriotic family, so I wanted to go to Vietnam and fight for my country. And once I got there, though, I was in several situations where I was in combat, and it just didn't seem like anything was going right over there. I couldn't understand what was going on. And finally I decided, that war wasn't worth it. I soon found out that my country had betrayed me and my government had lied to me. And it was a really, really bad feeling. And so I tried to figure out a way to get out of there. And my R&R was coming up. I was resting recreation. And I was hoping to get out then. But 2 weeks before my R&R, I got seriously wounded. I got blown up. And so I came home. But when I came home, I was attached to the side of a C-130 transport plane that had been turned into a flying hospital, because I'd lost both my feet and had shrapnel all of them from my body and everywhere. And so I was in a pretty bad situation.
A real difficult situation. And all of this really comes to life in Sam's book. The book is Then I Came Home. Sam Gaylord is the author, our guest on the program. You'll find the book at pageturner.us in the bookstore, the usual places, a direct link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. This is not like many other Vietnam books out there. This is from a unique perspective, and we start with, and we'll touch on this, Sam, and the elation, the excitement, joining the Marine Corps, to the reality of what was going on the ground in Vietnam. Let's talk about the inspiration to write the book Then I Came Home. What was the motivation to write this?
Well, sir, I come from a small town in Indiana, so my story was all over the newspapers, and small town, everybody knows everybody's business anyway. So
yes.
So when I came home, everybody knew me, and they'd see me, and they'd want me to talk about what happened. They'd want me to explain what happened. I really didn't want to, because it's a bad you know, a bad thing for me. But I did. I was trying to be nice and explain to people what happened. And somebody, and one of them one day said, well, you should write a book about your experience. And I said, yeah, right, me an author, sure. And then several people told me that, and some of my family told me that. So, you know, I just thought, well, you know, I don't know, I can't write a book. And then one day I was sitting out on my patio, drinking a beer, maybe a couple, maybe three. And then I thought, well, you know what, maybe I can write a book. So a couple of days later, I got up my legal pad and started writing. And so it just went on from there, and I just started writing my story.
And the story is really receiving rave reviews, 5 stars on Amazon, book reviews that are very, very positive. The book is Then I Came Home by Sam Gaylord. When writing the book, what were some of the challenges that you encountered? I imagine there were areas of difficulty in going back and reliving these experiences to tell them to people. What were some of the challenges?
Well, yeah, it was really hard. Because when people open my book, I want them to not see just a bunch of words. I want them to feel the words. I want them to feel and to know what was going on. And to write like that, you have to take yourself back and take way back into your mind to write down what's really happening. And when I did that, I had to go back to the day I was blown up and how I felt. And then I had to go back and think about how I felt before I got wounded. And, you know, I could just about hear the sounds of being blown up, and I could smell the smells of, you know, Vietnam. And that was really, really hard to write. But I knew that I had to write my story honestly and tell the truth and just, you know, just let people inside and see what's going on. And so that's how I wrote my book, and that's how I had to write it, to make it real and to make it honest.
Well, is that
it was very difficult.
Is that how you overcame that challenge, by the motivation to help other people, to get that word out there? You travel extensively and you deal with veterans, and we'll talk about that, the fractured system, as you describe it, for veterans. Was that the motivation that got you over that hump, overcoming that challenge, because it was so important, the message that you were trying to get across?
Yes, sir. That was my motivation, and I just felt like, I was out on the out in, was out in the jungle when I got wounded, and I was out there for 2 hours before they got me medevaced out, and I didn't think I was gonna make it. And then when I got to the Navy MASH unit, the doctors didn't think I was gonna make it either. In fact, they didn't know I could hear, but I heard one doctor say, well, this guy shouldn't be alive. And that scared the crap out of me.
Oh, yes, yes.
And I felt like, you know, since I did come home and made it through all that mess and tragedy, I thought, well, you know, if I tell my story, you know, maybe I can motivate somebody to, maybe somebody's going through a hard time, maybe I can motivate somebody to say, oh, well, I can make it. Hey, this guy can do it, you know. And I'm not half as bad as he is, so maybe I can make it too. So I wanted to motivate people. And also, too, when us Vietnam veterans came home, you know, they didn't treat us very well, and we didn't get treated very well at the VA either. So I made a determination that I was going to, you know, serve these veterans as much as I could, because I just didn't like the way we were being treated.
And this book is not just for veterans. There are so many people going through rough spots in life. And with Sam's sharing his story, you can see situations where you don't think you're going to make it. Maybe you've been told you're not going to make it. You fear for what's in front of you. And Sam went through all those emotions. He shares those to help everyone get through the difficulties in their lives. The book is Then I Came Home, available pageturner.us in the bookstore. You'll find it Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the usual places. Let's talk about surprises in the book. Are there any stories in there that surprise people, where you get a comment that, like, well, I didn't realize it was like that?
Well, I think there's a couple of places. One is, I think, well, I've been told that by readers that they're surprised that I got blown up and how bad I was wounded. And also, too, after I got home, I wrote about, you know, thinking about committing suicide. And I said that in the book, but I think the way I wrote it, people could understand what was going on, that's how I was feeling. So I was pretty down because I was at the end of the world. I mean, you know, so I think they'd be surprised that I actually thought about taking myself out and how bad I was wounded and surprised at how I could pull myself together and get going and move on. But the thing is, with people, we have an inner strength in us that people don't even know. We go our everyday lives, we just get up and we just go to work and do our thing, and we don't think about, you know, not something happening to us. Of course, that's what it should be. You know, people should be, you know, that's what it should be.
Yes.
A normal day. But the thing is, we got this superpower inside of us that we don't even know is there. But when something happens, that part comes out, and we're able to move on, to really get ourselves back together. And we don't know we have that power, but we do. We just live with it every day. But nobody knows we have it until something happens when they need it. I call it my 9/11 power.
Well, yes, and we see how Sam tapped into that for his life, and it's something that's adaptable for all of us. It's a remarkable story, Then I Came Home by Sam Gaylord. Let's talk a little bit about the thoughts that you had in joining the military and how they changed when you returned. You talked about a patriotic family. This was your chance to do what your father and your uncles did. Coming from a small patriotic town, you mentioned the ceremony in 1997 when you were officially a Marine and the pride that you felt. And then it changed. Let's go to June of 1968. You're part of the Tet Offensive. This was a long and bloody battle. What happened at that point and that led to the serious life-changing disability injuries that you have?
Well, first of all, I was 18 years old. And, you know, when you're 18, you think you know everything.
Yes.
But really, you don't know anything when you're 18. And you don't know that when you're there. But I joined the military, and I wanted to go in the Marines because I wanted to fight for my country. Because, you know, back then, John Kennedy said that he was passing the baton on to the next generation. Well, I was the next generation. You know, I was the generation of those war heroes, the World War II guys. My dad was one. And those guys were heroes. And my generation, we lived with those heroes. So we knew what it was like, you know, to be in a free country. And we respected and knew how lucky we were to be an American people. And so in Vietnam came on, and I wanted to do my part, but I wanted to go fight. And then I found out that it was just completely different than what I thought it would be. And I was really disappointed. Not my country. I love my country. I love my flag. And nothing will ever change that. But my government just kind of let me down. And when I came home, I was really, really upset because of the way I was treated. My brother also was a Marine, and he's a Vietnam vet. And him and I went to a VFW, and we told him when I left there, because the guy said, "Can we help you?" And I said, "Yeah, we need a couple of beers." He said, "You boys veterans?" "Yes, sir, we are Vietnam veterans." And he started laughing at us and thought it was funny that we were Vietnam veterans. Well, I'm standing there, double amputee. My brother Kenny, he made it, thank God, he made it through the war without getting hurt. And there was some vets over there sitting in the corner, and they started laughing.
Wow.
And my brother, he just jumped up in the middle of the table and started fighting them. And, you know, he's a black belt. He's an expert in black belt at the time. And he was just kicking everybody's ass, and I'm standing there. And you know, I just kind of froze. I didn't know he could do all that. And then when they got through, he comes over and I said, "Man, you sure glad I was here. You should be glad I was here." And he laughed. He said, "Yeah, sure." But anyway, stuff like that, you know, happened, and it really kind of bothers you because it's like, you know, we shouldn't be treated this way, and no American should be, and especially our veterans, and our veterans yes. deserve more. The veterans in America, they're the best. Our veterans and our military, they're the best, and they need to be treated that way. We all need to be treated that way.
It's such a remarkable story that Sam tells in the book, Then I Came Home, where he becomes what he said, part of the insanity when he realizes that this is not where he should be. This is not a battle we should be entering into. The mission that he was on was search and destroy. He goes into great detail. You feel like you're there. You feel the anxiety as Sam is going through and reliving that whole situation, that whole part of his life in his book, Then I Came Home. At 19, you say your life is ruined. And think about that. 19 years old, just the beginning of your life, and it's ruined because of what you went through defending your country for what you feel is just a bogus reason. We should not have been there. What was that like to try to deal with those emotions? And you relied on alcohol, you're very honest about, during that period. You gave thought to ending your life. How do you get through that when you're 19, you're turning to the government, you've got the Veterans Administration, and they're not doing really a whole lot as much as they should for you? How were you able to sort all of that out?
Well, I'll tell you, I was just about as low as anybody could get because, like I said, I couldn't walk. I didn't have any feet, and I was really, really messed up. And I was so depressed. And I came home, and I started. And the weird thing is I was depressed. But when I got home, when I got in my own bedroom and looked up at the ceiling, that's when it hit me. It really hit me hard because, like, hey, I am screwed up. I am disabled. What am I going to do? And I just, it really hit me when I got home. It just blew me away. And so the thing is, I did drink a lot of Budweiser and Jack Daniels to kind of take it away. But then I realized that wasn't the answer. There's just I was still in a lot of pain, and that would work for a little while. But the thing is, what I didn't have is I had nobody from the VA to come down or anybody call me and say, "Can we help you? Can we help you?" I needed help and didn't know it. I needed some real serious help, but I didn't know that. And so I just kind of had to suffer through myself and just day by day just kept fighting it and fighting it and fighting it. And finally, I could get up and I could walk pretty darn good. And so I just pushed my way through it. And the thing is, what really got me going and moving forward is I did not want my disability to define me. I wanted to define my disability. In other words, I wasn't going to let my disability keep me from doing certain things. I was going to define my disability, and I was going to go out and do it anyway. And I was just going to get off my butt and get out there and do it. But just because I'm not supposed to be able to do it, don't mean nothing. I get out there and do it, and that's what I did. I just pushed through and pushed through, and one day I could really walk good. I know I'm bragging right now, but I really could walk good.
Oh, yes.
Because I practiced. And when I first went to the VA in Louisville, Kentucky, to get new prosthetics, I walked in, and the doctor there, the orthopedic doctor, I walked in, he said, "What can I do for you?" And I said, "Well, I'm here for my prosthetics, get some new prosthetics." He looked at me, and he almost laughed, and he said, "New prosthetics." And I knew he didn't believe me, and I said, "Yes, sir, new prosthetics." And he kind of looked funny. So I stood up and I showed him my legs. He said, "My God, man," he said, "young man," he said, "I've never seen any veteran walk in here the way you did." He said, "I've seen World War II vets, Korean vets, Vietnam vets." He said, "I've never seen anybody walk the way you do." And that day when he said that, I knew, yes, yes, I did do it. I've come through it. I made it, you know.
That was just, yes.
Wow. That was just wow. I just never looked back.
It's a story of persistence. It's a story of overcoming incredible odds by our guest on the program. Our guest is Sam Gaylord. The book is Then I Came Home. Very honest, talking about the appetite for Mr. Beam and Uncle Bud as he got through all of these circumstances. And then very briefly, talk about the spiritual breakthrough. That was a big part of this as well. How did that come about?
Well, to be honest, sir, I'm not really sure. The only thing I can remember is I just kept pushing myself and pushing myself to better myself.
Yes.
And just kept pushing each time, just pushing. And a lot of that, some of that had to do with being a Marine. Was that when I was in the Marines, they told me, they said, they don't ever want to hear the word can't. And my DI said, "I don't want you terrorists to ever say can't, because when you graduate from here, you're going to be a United States Marine, and there's nothing you can't do." And those words kept echoing in my mind that, you know, when I thought, "Well, I can't," I thought, "Well, you know, yes, I can." And I'd get up and do it. Sometimes I was in a lot of pain, but you know what? Get up and do it, because if you don't, you know, if you don't do it yourself, nobody's going to do it for you. So you just got up and you just got to move forward and push forward. Now, to be honest with you, I can't really put my finger on what really, how I got through it, but I did get through it. But I just know I pushed and pushed and pushed myself to get there and just to move on. And anybody, you don't have to be a veteran, but anybody has a power within themselves to better themselves. They might get in a situation where, you know, we don't think about getting hurt, but sometimes bad things happen to us. We don't expect it, but we can do it. We have it within ourselves to do it. And the only thing I can say is I just pushed through it. I remembered my training, and just kept on pushing. That's all I can say as far as getting over that.
Sam Gaylord, our guest on the program. His book is Then I Came Home. A couple minutes left. I mentioned in the beginning you're out working to try to have some impact on what you called the fractured support system for veterans. We keep hearing as administrations change in Washington, the emphasis on the VA hospitals, we're going to cut down on wait time, we're going to take care of our veterans. Have you seen any positive changes in the VA system in taking care of veterans?
Well, as far as actual care, I think the care is better. I think the appointments and getting there is not as good. It still hasn't changed that much. But I do think that the care, the personal care that they get is pretty good. But like I said, but the appointments, I have veterans tell me that, you know, that they don't get their appointments and then they'll send them a letter and told them to come to an appointment, and the appointment was 3 days earlier, and they get their letter 3 or 4 days late, sometimes a week late, and they miss their appointments, and then the VA gripes to them about their appointments. So they got some tune-up they need to do, but as far as their treatment, I think their treatment's pretty good. And I do think they have changed. And I think that the country has a lot of guilt feeling about how they treat the Vietnam vets. Because I know when I first came home, the VA hospital, you know, they just kind of frowned on it. It could have been just me, but they just, you know, act like we weren't real veterans. So, but the system has gotten better. Now the benefits as far as, like Agent Orange and all that stuff, they haven't done too good on Agent Orange, because every day we lose about I mean, every year we lose thousands of Vietnam veterans stationed in Orange through cancer, and the government knows that Agent Orange causes cancer, but they take out each part of your body, and it should be just if you have cancer with Agent Orange, you know, that's it. So they just paying out the benefits. They just not just kind of slow on that. And right now we have 22 veterans a day committing suicide, and sometimes it just kind of somebody needs to get a hold of the situation and try to do a better job.
Well, you're calling attention to it, not only with the book and interviews, conversations like this, but going around to various organizations around the country at book signings or talking about your experiences with the VA and helping veterans through similar circumstances. The time has gone by so quickly. This really is a must read from our guest on the program, Sam Gaylord, Then I Came Home. The book is available wherever books are sold. I'll direct you to pageturner.us in the bookstore, but wherever books are sold, and links on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. His experiences, his emotions as an 18-year-old and signing up as a 19-year-old, coming back saying, my life was ruined, all of the experiences after that. You feel you are there as Sam's out on the search and destroy missions and everything that he went through in the jungles of Vietnam. It's an excellent job. Sam, thank you so much for being with us on the program and the courage in writing this book and helping other people. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, sir. It's been good being with you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The book, once again, Then I Came Home. The book is written by Sam Gaylord. The book available wherever books are sold, and we'll send you to pageturner.us in the bookstore. That's a link that you can go to directly on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And you're listening to This Week in America. More on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.